Amen. Do be careful on the ice out there. We were out witnessing yesterday and walking up to a door, and a split second later, I was on flat on the ice. Yeah, so be careful out there this morning. Okay, Romans chapter 1. And verse 18. Romans 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Several weeks ago, we began a study looking at how God has revealed himself in creation. And if you hold your place here, let's jump back to Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. God has revealed himself to mankind. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1 and verse 27. And could I volunteer to read this one? Any of you guys volunteer? Brother Tim?
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
So just right at the very beginning here, we have a question answered that our world, who has rejected Christ, doesn't seem to be able to answer. What is male and what is female? Some of you may have read at times a column by conservative writer Matt Walsh. And I was reading this week, evidently he was invited on the Phil, was it Dr. Phil? Something like that show, anyway. And so there was a sodomite that was on there debating that cause, and Matt Walsh was the spiritual common sense side of this whole issue. And so the man was talking about what pronouns to be referred to, and so Matt Walsh asked the guy, what is a woman? And he could not answer. This man could not answer. So it could not answer the obvious. So right here, the Bible says that God created male and female, and he created mankind in his own image. And so what does man do many times when they reject God? Notice back in Romans chapter 1, Romans 1, verse 21. Romans 1, 21. And let's read, if I can have a volunteer, read 21 through 23. Romans 1, 21 through 23. Brother Tim, okay. Okay, so isn't it interesting that when man rejects God and embraces evolution, that man is rejecting his own glory, because we are made in the image of God, and God obviously is glorious. And so then they begin to worship verse 23, animals. I was just noticing this week we walked through Myers, and I just said to my wife, I said, hey, the fish are gone. The aquariums, they're gone. And the pet area is expanding. And I got to thinking, I don't know now which is bigger, the pet area or the baby area. Maybe you know. I don't know how many square feet each of those takes up, but I do know over the years that pet area was very small and the baby section was very large, and I'm not so sure anymore how they compare, but the pet section continues to expand. And if you notice with me in Exodus 32, you know when man rejects God and rejects creation, then he exalts animals and thinks he came from an animal. And we'll look at some verses here. In Exodus 32, let's see, Brother Joe, I think you had your hand up. Exodus 32, verses 1 through 4. So isn't it interesting, verse 1, that when they come to Aaron and say, up, make us gods, when they reject the true and the living God, what do they make as an idol? An animal, a calf. How many of you, maybe I shouldn't ask this question. I guess you don't have to raise your hands. Just think about this one. How many of you, when you think of a cow, think of a grand and glorious, beautiful and strong animal? Now, if I said horse, you know, you might think, well, yeah, a horse does have some glory. They run fast, at least some of them. They're a strong animal. Many people would say a beautiful animal. Many times young people that are in like 4-H and things like that, or the future farmers, whatever it is, you know, they comb the horse, and really, I mean, they can make just the horse's coat shine, just to look very nice. So you might say a horse, but so many times they made a calf, and you think about it, why would you reject being made in the image and glory of God and think about coming from a cow? Or worse yet, not only thinking of coming from a cow, but making a cow your god, worshiping your cow, looking to a cow. A cow, how do they communicate? I mean, they moo. You know, why not one of those parrots or one of those birds that can mimic, you know, man speaking? But a cow. Well, we know why, don't we? Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. Of course, Aaron probably didn't realize it. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But we know why they often picked cows, calves. In Ezekiel chapter 1, and verse 10, Ezekiel 1:10. And could I volunteer to read this verse, Ezekiel 1:10? Brother Tim?
Okay. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side.
Okay, so in Ezekiel chapter 10, he tells us that this is a cherub he's looking at. Has four heads to it. One of them is the face of an ox. And if you notice in Ezekiel chapter 10 here, in verse 14, Ezekiel 10:14. And let's see, did I see a hand up over here? Brother Jim, Ezekiel 10:14. Okay, so if you compare these back and forth, what he called an ox face in chapter 1, he's calling a cherub face in verse 14. So the point is that Satan, Lucifer, is a fallen cherub angel. And so Ezekiel's describing the cherub face as the ox face. So we know why when man rejects the true and the living God, he starts making idols of calves and cows, because it's Satan. Satan wanted the worship. Notice in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14, and let's read 12 through 15. So I have a volunteer for this. Isaiah 14. 12 through 15. Okay, Brother Tim.
12 through 15. Okay. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit.
Okay, so that's Satan, the fallen cherub angel. Okay, so when man embraces evolution, rejects God, man then puts himself coming through animals. And so the summary of that is Psalm 106. What is man doing to himself? Now, man thinks he's very intelligent. Psalm 106, verse 19. They made a calf in Horeb and worship the molten image. They changed what? Their glory into the similitude of what? An ox that eateth grass. So God said, verse 19, when they made a calf there in Horeb, they changed their glory, their own glory, into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. So they're changing their own glory. When someone believes evolution, they're changing their own glory into that of an animal, which has no glory in this regard. So, and notice so in Psalm 14. So now can we begin to see why the Bible says of man that he is a fool when he rejects God? Psalm 14, verse 1. Get a volunteer to read that one. Psalm 14:1. Brother Jim. Okay. So it's just amazing, isn't it? Man, when he rejects God, gets so filled with himself and his own knowledge, what he thinks is knowledge. And yet he's making himself a fool. He's changing his glory. He's made in the glory and image of God. And now he's saying, nope, reject God. I come from animals. Animals that can't speak. Animals can't tie their own shoes. Animals can't create computers, cars, and Animals can't build fancy houses. You know, birds can build nests. Foxes can dig burrows. But, you know, the funny thing is nests, a certain type of bird's nest will always be similar to that same type of bird. But does man do that? I mean, does man build row after row of the exact same house? No, it's usually the government that does that. Well, when they build houses, that's what they'll do. They build whole divisions of homes and they all look the same. But man doesn't do that. Man uses his imagination. Does all of mankind dress the same? No. But do robins all dress the same? Yeah, they do. They do. So man in his foolishness rejects his creator. Notice in Ecclesiastes 3, Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 19. Ecclesiastes 3:19. I believe, Joe, did you have your hand up? Ecclesiastes 3:19 through 21.
For that which befalleth the sons of men, befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence over a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth?
Okay, so all of man, all of mankind will answer to God in one day, and that's why it says, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward. This is not teaching that all people end up going to heaven, because we know that's not the case. Actually, most people will go to hell, sadly. But it talks about here, all go into one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. So when man rejects God and puts himself in the line of animals, man, in that sense, will be like the animals going down. I mean, all of our bodies will go back to dust again unless the rapture happens and we're just instantly transformed, for which we look forward to that. But when man rejects Christ, man will go down. Man will be cast into everlasting hell fire. Notice in Matthew 25. And verse 41, Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into what?
Everlasting fire,
prepared for the devil and his angels. So, you want to say, oh, make us gods? You want me to make a golden calf? Well, they're just following the fallen cherub. And they'll spend eternity with him. Notice in verse 46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And so it's no coincidence that when man embraces evolution, rejects his creator, that man then rejects his own offspring. Notice in Psalm 139, Psalm 139, 13. Could I have a volunteer to read 13 through 17? Psalm 139, 13 through 17. Brother Jim?
Precious also are thy thoughts unto me,
Okay, so it's no coincidence that when man rejects God, man begins to worship the animals, that man then rejects his own children. And of course, then you have the rise of abortion. So since September 11th, 2001, each year, they have a special day of remembrance, remembering those 3,000-some people that died on that day at the hands of the terrorists. Why isn't it then that every day there's not a remembrance of the terrorists who slaughter babies in America every day? Since 1973, when the Supreme Court legalized abortion, I don't know for how many of those years, but in the most recent years, over 3,000 babies in America are aborted every day. Every day. You know, there have been remarks about Christians being terrorists. Isn't it something just how backwards man is without God? It's just so backwards. Terrorists? Who do Christians go around slaughtering? No one. But these vicious politicians and people in the medical field that for money will kill unborn babies, slaughter them by the thousands every day. And think of all the innocent blood. God doesn't want us to kill our children. This was one of the first things he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's what he told Adam and Eve to do, is to have children, to multiply. So God looks at it as a blessing. Notice, we're close here, Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And could I volunteer to read this chapter? Psalm 127. Brother Tim?
Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate.
Okay, so God said it's a reward, verse 3, not a judgment. It's like, oh no, you're expecting a child, you poor thing? No, that's not the way God looks at it. He says the fruit of the womb is his reward. So God wants us to be fruitful and multiply, and then God wants us to teach our children about him. Notice in Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. And verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Okay, how about 4 through 9? Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Brother Joe?
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates.
Okay, so God wants us to be fruitful and multiply. That was one of his first instructions to mankind when he created Adam and Eve. And then he wants us to teach our children, verse 5, to love God. And so we need to love God if we're going to teach our children that. And so that means, verse 6, that the Word of God needs to be in our hearts. And then verse 7, that we need to teach these things diligently unto our children. You know, some of the best times to talk about the Lord is when we're facing trials or just everyday things. Yesterday, we were going out witnessing, and I took a slip. Brother Jesse was behind me and was walking toward the door, and there was a light covering of snow on ice, and I didn't know the ice was below it. And so I'm walking toward the door, and a split second later, my feet are out in front of me, and I'm headed straight down. And so my Bible, my witnessing stuff is flying through the air, all of it. And I can just remember coming down on my forearm and elbow. I remember hitting the ice and thinking about that. And I was thinking, okay, when is the pain going to start? I just fell on my arm and elbow, and then for my head to keep from hitting the ice, I just remember jerking my head, trying to keep it from hitting the ice, and just like immediately my neck was sore. And I got up and I was shocked that my elbow wasn't hurting. And so Brother Jesse helped me pick up all the things, and so we talked to this man and then got back in the car. And so I was just talking to Jesse about God's protection. Notice with me in Psalm 91, and that's what I'm talking about, is when we face situations like that, that's the time to talk about God. That's the best time to teach our children. Can I have a volunteer to read Psalm 91, 11 and 12? Psalm 91, 11 and 12. Brother Tim?
For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone.
Okay. So situations like that is a good time to bring out the children. You know, see, you know, that could have resulted in a trip to the hospital with some broken bones real easy. But you know what? God has his angels there to help us, to break our falls, to whatever else. Who knows how many times we could have been very seriously hurt on a number of occasions, but that God protected us. So that's the best time to teach. And of course, that shouldn't be the only time, but I mean, like in family devotion times, we can teach our children. But probably the things they'll remember the most are situations like that. Where, now, what would happen with the average person of this world? They're walking up to a house, and they slip and fall and crack on the ice. What are the first words probably going to be out of their mouths? Probably cursing God. That's probably what they're going to be. And so, you know, that's the best time to teach our children a good biblical response. So I pray that, well, let's go back here just to Romans 1, and just we'll close this out here. Romans 1. And verse 21, Romans 1, 21. Because that when they knew God, they what?
Glorified him not.
They glorified him not as God. Neither were what?
Thankful.
But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So could we take this with us from our time together this morning? Could we, verse 21, glorify God and ask him, Lord, please help me to glorify you, whether it's by walking upright or picking myself up out of the snow. Lord, please help me to glorify you. And then it says, neither they were not thankful. Lord, please help me this week to glorify you and help me to be thankful in all things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we do want to glorify you. We do want to have an impact upon this world. We know, Lord, we have an adversary, the devil, who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Father, I pray that you would help us. We thank you for the angels which you have given to protect us. And we thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that in all the things we face this week, that we would glorify you and that we would thank you and that we would not have the reaction of the world to be angry, to say things we ought not to say. But I pray that we would truly glorify you with all of our lives. And I pray that, Lord, as Brother Tim preached about letting our light shine for you, I pray, Lord, that truly that our lives would be light and would dispel darkness wherever we go. Lord, I pray that by your glory, that light, that darkness would be dispelled. We'll thank you for all you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.